So I'm very excited to hear Pete.
My name's Pete. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Tim, for inviting me down to do this. Service work is a big part of what keeps me sober and where I find real joy and happiness in realizing that the disease of alcoholism gave me every good thing that I've got in my life now. And I certainly did not look at it when I was going through it and when I was actively drinking. No, thank you for reading the beginning of the stories there. That really hit something with it. And I really love that part that reminds you that, like, I am one of you. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be of service. I did not come to AA directly when drinking stopped for me. I wound up in the hospital with esophageal varices. I was in organ failure. I was in a very bad condition. It was bad. I was drinking very heavily. The doctor had come to me and had said, hey, he wasn't talking to me. He talked to the woman that I was with who had gotten me to the hospital, who I am forever grateful for her acting on God's behalf or however that worked. And think it is that at the time. You know, when I read the doctor's opinion, the ending paragraph of it is, I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. And that part kind of took a while for that to hit home, to realize that God was a bigger part of my story than I wanted to believe, and that his action in my life only comes from my relationship with him. And I certainly didn't think that I was coming in here to find out that God was at all interested in what my life could be if I just put down the bottle, because I enjoyed it. It was everything that I did, and somewhere along the way it became not fun and it became the only thing that I did. It took over every aspect of my life and really tore me apart. Grew up in the Northeast. My parents are both college professors. Grew up in a college town. Grew up in a beach community that was, you know, kind of a resort town during the summer. So year-round living there as a resident, you know, party with the college students. And then when people are there during the summer, you're drinking with people during the summer, and nobody gets to know you. And I grew up on a farm away from town, so I didn't hang out with many people, you know. I got to spend a lot of time in the woods, spend a lot of time with myself, which I'm comfortable with now, but I didn't realize how uncomfortable I was with it until I came in here and did a thorough inventory, you know. Like, I learned stuff about myself at 42 years old that I did not know I'd been doing since I was 4 years old. So my sobriety date is July 14th, 2023. And incidentally, I'm stubborn and an alcoholic enough that it was 7 years to the day after I wound up in the hospital and had my last drink that I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, because that woman who got me to the hospital got sober, and I got to see how much that changed her life. And I thought just stopping drinking was enough. I was still in a cloud, some other stuff going on there. You know, I thought that was enough, just stopping drinking. And in some ways it was. It was enough that, you know, the fear of going, well, I'm going to die if I drink again, was enough to keep me from picking up again. And I look at it now, and it's not a regret, but it's something that if I'd realized what this program had to offer me, I certainly would have come into these rooms sooner. I found friendship, I found fellowship, I found a better way to live, and that's because of a relationship with God. And if that scares you, then it shouldn't. He's there anyway. you know, like, that's what I learned, is that, you know, when I wound up in that hospital room, I was talking with somebody about it the other day. When I wound up in that hospital room, the reason I thought I survived 3 weeks in the hospital in ICU, I had a lot of blood transfusions, rehab after that. I missed my brother's wedding, which I was supposed to be the best man at. My little sister was pregnant with her first child. She was 8 months pregnant. She came down to Georgia to see that. And selfish me came to Georgia to just get away from it, because I didn't want my family to see me die of my drinking, because I knew that's where it was headed. I thought moving 1,000 miles away from home would solve my problem, that nobody'd have to see me doing what they were seeing me do anyway. And, you know, that's rough to accept that that's the way I was thinking at times. And I was talking with the same friend the other day about some of this stuff, and I've talked about it with my sponsor, that my attitude before I'd stopped drinking was, if it's going to be bad for me, it's going to be worse for you. And I think about that attitude now, and that's about as awful as this person as I could be, you know? Like, that's just what a poor attitude to have. And now, because of AA, my attitude is, what can I do to help you? You know, service has given me a reason to stay active in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's given me friends and relationships that I never thought I would have. And another part of Alcoholics Anonymous that I realized through working these 12 steps is that this entire program allows you to evolve relationships that you never imagined you would have. Like, I never imagined I would have getting sober, you know? Like, I have a relationship with my family. My little sister has 3 beautiful kids now. My brother has 2 beautiful kids. Her husband and my father came down, and they were the ones who stayed in the hospital with me because, you know, at first I had resentment towards my mom about it because why did she want to come see me in the hospital? Well, she didn't want to watch her son die. Like, it's that's rough to have to make that amends to my mom and go, you know, like, I'm pretty angry about this one thing, and, like, I understand now why you didn't want to see me in the hospital. Like, she's a nurse. She knew what was going on. Like, I just thought it was over, and, you know, foolishly enough, before I came to AA, I thought the reason that I survived that was the drugs that I had done or the other things that I had done prior to that. I thought that's why I survived it, and, like, that is some insane thinking that I was like, oh, it's this other stuff that I did that allowed me to get through drinking. No, it was God. And I used to ask why, what the reason was for me getting through that, and now I look at it and I just go, it's God's plan, and I don't need to know the details. I need to show up. And, you know, in that 3rd step prayer, it asks me to get out of my own way, and it reminds me that in the world that I live in now, I'm not that important in terms of what I can offer other people. Like, I can be a hand, be a help to somebody else who's suffering, and, you know, that's why I come do these things. This is why I do service work. That's why I come down here to speak. And my only hope is that, you know, if somebody hears something that's worth it for them, then I've done the best I could, and I can be happy with that. And that's a beautiful thing that AA has given me. And, you know, I do. Sorry if I'm jumping around a little. I get a little nervous up here. Just a bit. Take a sec. So, guess what I can say in terms of 12 steps and recovery and what I've, one of the things, so I've been working with sponsees lately, and that's become something new where, you know, felt like I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, if you're afraid of getting to know somebody, get a sponsor. They'll get to know you, and you'll tell things that, I learned, if I'm working this program correctly, I'll tell them some stuff that I don't want to tell them. And, you know, my sponsor's one of my best friends. I can call him up on anything. I called him up before this meeting, and I was like, hey, man, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, you're driving down to Atlanta right now, aren't you? I was like, yeah. He's like, you nervous? I was like, why don't you tell me about your day? I was like, I don't need to think about me. Like, I need to get out of my own way right now and try and just be present in what this is, and that's hopefully giving somebody else hope that this program can work for you, that everything that I did while I was drinking is just part of the past. It's not going to define me today, but if I don't learn from the lessons of that, then I'm bound to repeat them. And there's a lot of stuff that I did when I was drinking that I don't particularly care to revisit the action part of that. And you know, this program is about action and honesty. It's like, going back to, you know, that 4th step that I was rambling about before, you know, writing that list and finding out that I had all these character defects, I was aware I had them. Was I going to do anything about them? No, it's just the way I was. And I found out that a lot of the way that I behave and a lot of things that I did, it didn't just come from the alcoholism. Some of it was just the way I acted, and some of it I'd been doing for a very long time, and alcohol amplified a lot of those things. And that attitude that I had, it was, you know, I don't want anybody to know me, and if you're going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you worse. And that's just, that's not the person I want to be today. I want to be able to see that there's a light at the end of it, and there's, you know, the book refers to it as the sunlight of the Spirit, and I think that's a wonderful way to put it, because I remember being in rehab, and this is after 3 weeks in the hospital. I get to rehab, and I'm outside smoking a cigarette and just kind of still not doing real well. I get sent to the hospital a couple times while in rehab because of related medical issues with that. You know, I'm smoking a cigarette, which they told me don't smoke cigarettes, and I was like, well, that's nice. Like, I'm going to have something here, and that was kind of always my holdout of coming to AA. You know, the first AA meeting I went to, this guy who was bringing the meeting into this detox had said to me, he's like, you're going to die if you keep doing this, and 99% of you in here aren't going to make it. And I was like, challenge accepted. Like, that was my attitude. Like, you really want to push me? Tell me I can't do something. Well, it fueled me when I was drinking. It fueled me in sobriety, too. And, you know, like, I'm pig-headed. I'm stubborn. I know that. But I found out that occasionally there's some good things that can come from persistence. And I've had some rough times at times in sobriety, but more often than not, it seems as though most of it I've been able to weather with just going, this is what's going on. And, you know, it's one of the things that I go to regularly is the past is behind me, the present is yet to be determined, and the present's a gift, but it's also here right now. And I've found that the most joy I find in sobriety is doing the things that keep me truly present. Like, I've got some friends here that I ride motorcycles with. That's something I haven't done in years, and it was something that I was like, the first time I got back on a bike and rode around, a hawk flew by, and I was like, yes, like, this is great, like, this is exactly what I need in my life. And I was at a place where it felt like just not drinking. Like, I was like, I've shown up to meetings, just talked to people. I, you know, had some friends, but it was people that, you know, like, I hadn't found my tribe yet. And the fellowship of AA is part of that family, but I found a group of people that really love me and really care. And it's a beautiful thing. Like, it's very funny, this past Friday, I've gone out to dinner with a young lady, or a lady my own age, I guess, so probably not that young. but a friend had asked me, he was like, it's Saturday morning, we're meeting up for to go to a memorial service for a friend in the program who had passed away. And the guy asked me, he's like, where were you last night? And I was like, busy. And he's like, well, what'd you do? Go on a date? You weren't at the meeting. And I was like, yes. And it's like, I feel like I'm 13 years old sometimes when these old timers talk to me. I'm like, yes. Like, okay, fine, you caught me. And like, it's silly stuff like that. Like, I'm embarrassed to be like, oh, I met this girl who's sober, and like, I took her out to dinner, and like, we had a nice time, and I dropped her off at her house, and that was the night. Like, okay, like, it's kind of silly, but like, it's pretty fantastic. Like, I didn't think these were things that were going to happen. Like, I behaved. Like, it was nice. Like, I was just like, thanks, I had a great time. Like, see you later. Like, okay. Like, it's just weird. Like, the things that now I can find joy and comfort in life, because I've learned how to at least be reasonably comfortable in my own skin. Like, I would get worried up here that I'm going to start crying because I get emotional. And one of the biggest things that I always looked for in drinking was I didn't want to feel a thing. You know, like, I wanted, the goal was always flatline. And, you know, drink until I was on the ground, or didn't end up in cuffs too many times. But, you know, it was drink until I was on the ground, and next morning, you know, do the same thing again. And by the end of it, I joke about it now, but it's true, and it's not funny, but it's kind of funny now. It's only funny because I survived it, I guess. You never have to get sober if you never stop drinking. And I was, towards the end of it, going 24/7, so, you know, like, it was so bad at work that I remember a guy that I worked with, I was neon yellow, and he was like, "Are you going to die?" And I was like, "This guy knows." Like, okay, like, this isn't good. I had DTs so bad that by the end of an 8-hour shift, I couldn't use a keyboard to get out of work, to type my name and a 3-letter password in the computer to get out of work. Like, that's how far wrecked I was. And, like, that is terrifying. Like, I'd go to my car, drink a pint of liquor, go to the liquor store, get a bottle, and keep drinking on the way home, and then get home, drink some more, run out, go to the store again. And, like, you know, it talks about it in the book over and over. And when I read, you know, Bill's story, Dr. Bob's Nightmare, I went every bit of that. And, you know, going back to that part at the end of the doctor's opinion there, like, the first time I read this book through and read through it with the sponsor, never have I read something that in the first 164 pages I could relate with more. And every time I read it, there's some part of it where I've heard it said that, you know, they change it every time you read it. And it feels like that some days. You know, I read something and I go, oh, right. And, you know, like, these things change and we evolve. And that's something that I think I've started to realize a lot more in life, that I wanted things to remain the same, you know, like, all along. Like, whenever I was stuck in my drinking, I just wanted it to be the same as it was when I was younger, you know. I wanted it to be a good time. I wanted it to be a party with friends. And by the end of it, it was a pity party for one, and it was just ugly, you know. Like, it tore me to shreds, and I'll never get back those years, but I can learn from them. And as we've always saying here, you know, more will be revealed. And that's the stuff that I find more and more, like, I have these conversations with other friends. I have, you know, people have come to me now in my own family who have said, "I think I have a problem." And it's like, "You want me to go to a meeting with you? Like, do you want to call me? Do you want to talk about it?" Like, I know where to go. Like, I'll find a meeting for you. You live 700 miles away. Like, here, get this app, send it to them. Go, like, see what happens. And, like, it's their choice at the end of it. And, you know, my choice has been to not drink and to continue to work this program. And, you know, some days, there's an old timer who goes to my home group. He's a very funny guy, and he's there. He 2 meetings a day. He's retired. He'll tell you why. And he'll just go, "You know, I go to 2 meetings a day. This is what I do." And went out to dinner with him on Saturday night, breakfast with him on Sunday, and both times after meetings. And it was just, it's funny to hang out with somebody who's like, "Yeah, this is what I do." And, like, sobriety works into that guy's life in every way. And, you know, he's always asking other people, like, "How are you? What are you doing?" And, That's part of the hand of AA, you know, when you meet these people that, you know, I didn't think I'd find people, like, I thought I was going to walk into a meeting and I was like, "Oh, these people, like, oh, this ain't going to be good. Like, if they're going to tell me that I'm going to die again," I'm like, "Yeah, I know that's coming, like, eventually." But, like, you know, I didn't need the fear and the brimstone of it. Like, I'd seen enough to know the terms of the deal. And it's that one day at a time that I get to be present and enjoy my life as long as I continue to do the things that I need to do. And that relationship with God was hard for me at the beginning. And, you know, we always talk about a God of our understanding. And just talking about some of the joy that I find in life, that's the moments that I've found God in my life, you know. Like, I can flash back to those moments where I was truly present and I felt God. And it's things like that. Like, one of my earliest memories is riding on the back of a motorcycle with my dad, and I was probably 3 years old. I had my hands around his neck, and pretty sure I wasn't wearing a helmet. My mom still gives him crap about it now. They've been married for 53 years now. But she still, it's like, "I can't believe you did that." And he was probably riding around the neighborhood like 5-10 miles an hour. And I still remember that as a clear thing. Like, I like cars, I like moving, I like skateboarding, surfing, stuff like that. So somewhere in there, that motion and that freedom of, you know, feeling like something else is moving me is where I've really found joy. And I remember, you know, the first wave I ever caught on a surfboard, it's exactly that. Like, I can picture that moment in my mind whenever I want to go to it. And those are the moments that I've felt the closest to God. And when I realized I can work on that relationship to try and find that joy in other things in my life, you know, talk about the last step, you know, like having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I can have that spiritual awakening every day. It might be just a grain of sand, but, like, God's there every day. I just have to look for it. Like, God's never left me. I'm the one who's been wayward, you know. Like, I'm the one who has neglected the fact that God's seen me through some stuff that, you know, I have a lot of friends who are no longer here as a result of their choices with drugs and alcohol, and that's, it's sad, but it reminds me that, I heard it said the other day, and it was one that kind of stuck with me, was bad examples are good examples, you know? Like, when I see what it can be like, it reminds me that I don't need to be there, and that's the same reason that I can come up here and say, you know, like, you can make a choice to stop drinking. You can make a choice to do that. And it may take some effort, but I promise you, being sober and working these steps and getting honest and finding a God that works for you, your life will get a heck of a lot better. And it doesn't mean it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows. And, you know, if glitter's coming out the other end, then there's problems. But there's happiness in my life, and there's joy. It comes from the sobriety. It comes from, you know, working the steps. And one of the things that I've really focused on lately is, you know, bringing other people through the steps makes me go through them again. So I met with a guy this weekend, and we started going through, you know, starting to get into his fourth step and getting into, you know, him writing his fourth step and what that looks like. And, you know, we're meeting in a week to sit down and do this fifth step. And what it reminded me of is I got home yesterday after that, and I sat down and I started doing some inventory stuff, because what kind of example would I be if I wasn't doing the same things that I'm asking of others? It's the first time I've sat down and started writing some of that stuff recently. I think I've been kind of building towards this, in that I've been working on, you know, this daily inventory stuff, and, you know, working on prayer and meditation, and kind of trying to find my way in deeper into what AA has to offer. And it's something where, you know, I started writing this inventory again, and I can already see there's some stuff that there's some rough edges, and there's some stuff that, you know, I've written down, and it was like, oh, I'm not sure I like some of where this is going. And there's some fear in my heart about, like, what does this mean about, you know, what sort of direction am I going in myself? And, you know, I'm glad that the program has given me these tools. Like, that's some of what I was, kind of why I asked my sponsor to kind of talk to me today on some of that stuff, because it was, you know, if I'm going into action in this program, then it means I have to do the work as well. And it was one, you know, it says in the book, resting on our laurels. Well, I've been sitting on my ass, so, you know, it was something that I got to go home and write some of that list. And coming up here, I thought I was, you know, it's coming up here to share my experience. And my experience has been that 12 steps, you know, when I get to 12, it's 1-2. So it's back to the beginning again, and there's some stuff, there's always some work to be done. That balance between work and relaxation, sometimes I'm just being lazy. Recently, a friend who stepped out from the program, and it's one where that's kind of been laying on me that I go, oh, well, I'm not sure that's, like, I don't want to head that direction. So tools that this program has given me has made me aware enough to go that, like, that's tickling something and I don't know what. And I don't think it's going to put me towards drinking, but it's made me think about my actions again. It's made me think about what I can do and what this program's shown me to do. And that's call people. That's not just going to meetings. That's doing the steps. That's doing the work, you know. The magic happens in the action. It's not always just showing up to meetings for me. And, like, I do like coming to meetings because I get to see other people. I get to see my friends. I get to, you know, have some fun. Like, I work a job that takes a lot of time. So, you know, I make these excuses for myself on, well, I don't have time. I'm working 12-hour days. I'm working all these days in a row. I've got this going on. I went out on a date. Like, I just do my inventory now, you know? Like, that's some of it that I see the stuff that's already been pointed out in that first fifth step that I did with my sponsor. And, you know, it's this spiritual rock tumbler. It's these flaws that are a rock tumbler, you know? Like, I'm never going to be smooth marble, but I'm going to take off the edges. And I've found when I find something that really irritates me or that I feel like I need to work on, I'm not letting God help me with, I'll zoom way in on that one problem and I'll just focus relentlessly on, like, oh, this is what you're doing. You're being greedy. You're wasting money. You're doing this. And I focus relentlessly on that. And then all of a sudden, there's this other stuff that's out of balance. And finding balance in this program in the almost 2.5 years, almost 3 years I've been in here, has been one of the harder things to find, you know. I work a job. I live by myself. I have some pets. So going to meetings is important to me, and then I get to see people, and I get people to tell me stuff like that. Like, where were you Friday night? And they don't really care what the answer is. They just want to know I'm okay. Like, but I have to answer honestly. I don't want to go, I wasn't doing anything. I just went home. Like, no, here's what I was doing. And having people around me to do that and to love me enough to tell me those things, even if I don't want to hear them, that's really a magical thing, and that's something that I'm not sure I would have found if I hadn't come into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And anyone who's on the fence thinking that maybe this isn't something they want to do, give it a try. You can always go back to drinking, but I've found it's not worth it. There's always a solution, and the book of AA and working these steps offers it. And hopefully somebody heard what they needed to hear, and thank you for having me. I slip and then I clip to a hope-filled dream. You rescue me and finally wake and there I see. I look into yeah.
Take me where the promise is.